At magandang gabi ho sa inyong lahat. Welcome to this gathering of Crossroads Church of Dubai. Ako po si Alvin Litonwa at naglilingkod bilang isa sa mga elders ng iglesyang ito. Kagaya po na anunsyo kanina, if you just came in just now, yung meeting place po natin next week ay hindi ho dito, kung hindi ho banda sa Salam Hall. Ang Salam Hall ay matatagpuan gawing kanang ko ho paglabas po nyo ng pintuan na to. At pagpaakyat naman po kayo ng hagdana, nasa gawing kaliwa ninyo. So yun po ang magiging momentary hall na ating pagdadausan ng ating gathering. But at the same time, sa December 23, babalik po tayo rito para mag-celebrate po ng ating Christmas service. Also, another change of schedule, dapat November 8 po ang ating baptism service na madalas nagaganap po sa Emmanuel Hall ng Monday. Nagkaroon ho ng pag-uusap ang elders na it would be best na kung saan after ng service, dun po magaganap ang baptism. So, that will be on the 11th of November, second Thursday ng month. Kaya lahat po tayo ay bababa. And if you have time na mag-participate, that we would appreciate that, na ma-witness natin ang public profession of repentance and faith through water baptism. Ayan po. Also, next week, magsama-sama po tayo maghapunan mismo sa Festival Mall po, dyan mismo sa, malapit sa ACE. Ah, ACE ba yun? IKEA. We are in our fourth week in our sermon series on the book of Romans, the gospel of the righteousness of God. Ang punto po ni Paul throughout the chapters 1 hanggang 3 ay upang ipakita ang kahalagahan ng gospel both sa mga pagan Gentiles at saka yung mga religious Jews. Sa chapter 1, mapapansin po natin na Paul had focus on speaking sa mga Gentile, pagan Gentiles, yung kanilang immorality, yung kanilang idolatry. So in address niyan, Paul was urging them to repent and trust the gospel of the righteousness of God, which is yung gospel ni Jesus Christ. And from there, he focused sa chapter 2, he panned to chapter 2 sa mga ibang klaseng group naman sa congregation ng Church ng Rome. At yun po yung mga Jews. It's the same, he addressed them and urged them also to repent and trust sa gospel na itong pinipreach na, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? It's because wala silang pinagkaiba sa mga Gentiles in terms po of idolatry, yung self-worship nila and yung pag-trust nila sa kanilang privileges, which we'll be talking about mamayang konti, is not sufficient for them para sila ay ma-justify sa Day of Judgment. Last week, nakita natin that Paul argued that knowing the law does not acquit or justify o mapawalang sala sila sa Day of Judgment. Tonight, Paul will continue to argue against the Jews' confidence in the privileges na meron sila as a Jew. Na ang sinasabi po ni Paul sa argument na ito, kung ano man namang privileges na meron kayo, hindi pa rin siya sufficient to save you from your sins. My prayer tonight is that we would study our passage. As we study our passage, we would cease to place our confidence on things that hinder us to come to Christ, but trust Him alone, our all-sufficient Savior. The truly elected ones will live transformed lives that will adorn the gospel, that would compel the watching world to glorify God. The truly elected ones will live transformed lives that will adorn the gospel, that would compel the watching world to glorify God. Meron po tayong 3 points ngayong gabi. Number 1, misplaced confidence, verses 17 to 20. Number 2, major contradiction, verses 21 hanggang 22. And number 3, mournful consequences, which is verses 23 hanggang 24. Number 1, misplaced confidence. Basahin po natin yung verse 17 at 18. But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know His will and approve what is excellent, let's stop right there. Paul starts with a conditional sentence na tinatawag. It's a conditional sentence ito para ihanda ang kanyang argument against the Jews. Ito isa pang version of the same argument na sinimulan niya last week, which is yung verses 12 hanggang 16, na kung saan he is addressing the Jews' self-entitled attitudes. Okay? So, tingin nila is, kami ay Jews, so marami kami privilege, so kailangan superior kami sa lahat. Now, sa verse 17 hanggang 18, nilalarawan ni Paul sa atin kung gaano kataas ang tingin ng mga Jews sa kanilang sarili. Okay? Dahil, ito ang dahilan, kasi sila ay Jews. Yun po yun eh. The only reason ang tingin nila mataas ang sinila is because they're Jews. Bakit? Dahil sa mga privileges. Ano ba yung mga privileges na nabanggit? Which is nandito po sa 17 hanggang 18. One, they were the chosen people of God. Yeah, that's one privilege. Sila yung pinili ng Panginoon to have and had covenanted with them. Sila yung tinatawag, another word for the word chosen is elect. They are the elect people of God. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Okay? They were chosen by God to be His people. Kalawa, God gave them the law na kung saan they had relied on this law. And they have also, third, wisdom, knowledge, and discernment to understand the law and even teach. So yung mga privileges, few of the privileges na meron po yung mga Jewish people na ito. Since nung 2 Kings, ang pangalang Jew has been used to refer to the covenant people of God. If you would remember, Israelites ang tawag sa kanila, pero after ng 2 Kings, Jew na ang tawag sa kanila. Some say galing ito sa tribe of Judah, which was the only identifiable tribe sa panahon po ng dispersion ng Israel. So, ang pangalang Jew, J-E-W, indicates that special relationship within the ethnic Jew kay Yahweh. So pag tinawag kang Jew, immediately they have that understanding na tayo ay may special relationship with God because of the reasons na binanggit ko kanina. They also possess God's law, the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law, the Torah. Sila ay aral sa salita ng Diyos to the point that they have become experts of the law. Not only do they know the law, but are trained and qualified to teach itong law na ito. Sabi ko sa Romans chapter 2, verse 19 to 20, because you are instructed from the law. And if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law embodiment of knowledge and truth. Ang mga nabanggit dito na blind, those in darkness, at mga foolish, they are imageries po ng mga Gentiles na kung saan hindi mananampalataya. Na yung nabanggit naman sa verse 20 na children, ito po yung mga Gentiles na kung saan na na-convert sa Judaism. So, kumbaga sila yung mga bagong mananampalataya o tagasunod ng Judaism. So, they are called to teach them, to instruct them. So here's the problem of the Jews pagdating sa kanilang mga privileges. Unahin po natin, they took pride or confidence in their unique relationship with God. Why? Because they were chosen. They were the chosen race. That God has elected them among the nations of the world to represent Him, to do His purposes, specifically the redemptive purpose that God has appointed sa kanila. At dahil dito, they are saying kay Paul, na Paul, hindi na namin kailangan ng gospel mo. We have the law. We have been chosen. We have been elected by God. So there's no need for that. Of course, Paul is a Jew. You will see yung series of arguments na babatuhin ni Paul dito mamaya because he understands Jewish mind. So, mamaya, titignan natin kung ano po yung arguments na gagawin niya in order to dismantle yung kanilang paniniwala. So, akala ng mga Jew na ang kanilang national or ethnic election will exempt them from God's judgment. So, yun po pumapasok sa isip nila. Paul knows na hindi to ang case. Hindi ibig sabihin na you are ethnically chosen or a national election, Kayo ang pinili ng Panginoon, hindi yung nangangahulugan na kayo ay mabsweltohan sa Day of Judgment. That's why if we are to go a few chapters ahead, sa chapter 9, Paul mentions a different kind of election. Paul mentioned another type of election na gusto niya sabihin sa mga taong ito. Now, if you would turn your Bible sa chapter 9 ng Romans, verses 9 hanggang 13. For this is what the promise said, about this time next year I will return and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. Paul is saying, yes, you are the elected and chosen by God to be His covenant people, to represent Him to the world. Ito po yung national election, ethnic election, yes. Pero hindi ito ang type ng election that will save you from God's judgment. So yun ang argument ni Paul dito. Bukod sa national or ethnic election, meron din yung tinatawag na individual election. Yung doctrine ng individual election na ginagawa ang Panginoon. That's the type of election that would lead towards justification. Yun po yung sinasabi po ni Paul dito. Sa chapter 9, he cites two examples of Jewish men. Pareho sila anak ni Abraham, pero ang isa sa kanila ay hindi pinili ng Diyos. Kung ang basis ng argument ng mga Jews, dahil kami ay Jews, kami ay maja-justify sa aming kasalanan, then Paul in chapter 9 said, teka muna, Esau at saka si Jacob, parehong Jew yan. Pero anong sinabi rito? Esau, I hate. Jacob, I love. So ano nangyayari rito? So yun yung argument niya. Jacob's name later was changed to Israel. Israel had 12 sons. Israel's 12 sons had families and grew. And those 12 sons became 12 tribes. And one of the tribes is Judah, where I go back sa aking sinabi, where they got yung name po na Jew from that tribe. So ang argument ni Paul na sinasabi niya rito, it's not national election will save you. It is an individual election. Anong point nito ni Paul? He is telling the Jews sa chapter 2 na they cannot place their confidence sa kanilang national election and should not take pride on it and view others as lower forms of life. Which is yun ang tingin nila. Kami ang Jew, kami ang superior, lahat ng mga ibang lahi ay bagsak. Kami lang, kasi kami ang pinili. So that's the first problem they had. They took pride or confidence in their unique relationship with God. And another problem is they also became arrogant and relied on the law. Dahil sa sila'y pinagkatiwala ng law ng Panginoon, biglang naging mayabang sila rito. Ang Jews, if they would put their reliance on the law, they thought that it would exempt them from the coming judgment, which is yung inaral po natin ito last week. Their knowledge of the law and their teaching abilities had led them to be arrogant. Since they're very well versed sa Torah. So they are even qualified to teach. So what Paul is attempting to do here, he is highlighting ang mga maling pagkaka-apply nila sa law na ito. Dahil sa mali ang pag-apply nila ng law, their confidence has been misplaced. So how does this apply to us sa panahon natin ngayon? So how does this work sa life natin bilang Christians? Here we go. Crossroads. Sa crossroads po, naniniwala po tayo sa katuruan ng Bible patungkol sa doctrine of individual election o yung tinatawag na predestination, na kung saan pumili ang Diyos ng specific at definite number of people nang ililigtas niya. This is an act of mercy. This is an act of love kasi pwede naman siyang hindi pumili o magligtas. He did it out of His own pleasure and for His own glory. Sabi sa Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will." God guaranteed ang salvation ng mga anak niya because Jesus won on the cross and granted the benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection sa mga magre-response sa gospel niya. If salvation is left to anyone, no one will be saved. Kasi ang totoo po niya, no one will choose God. Sabi sa Romans 3 verse 10, a chapter after ng ating passage, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God." Si Dr. Luke naman, nung sumulat siya sa Acts chapter 13, verse 48, patungkol kay Paul at saka Barnabas, preaching to the Gentiles in Antioch, he says that when the Gentiles heard the gospel message, ito po yung nangyari, Acts 13, 48, "And they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed." Sa 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 to 5 naman, makikita natin ang elect of God are the ones who believe the gospel. Those who have been elected will believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 to 5, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction." Mga kaibigan, ang totoo niyan, there is a temptation for us to be prideful and arrogant that we know and believe itong glorious doctrine na ito. Okay? I know kasi many times I caught myself being tempted to be prideful and arrogant about it, knowing that we have an unshakable doctrine or a defendable doctrine. And the truth is also, when I look at sa ating social media, napapansin ko po, nababasa ko how many people who believe this doctrine of election, of grace, ay graceless sa mga tao o sa mga kapatiran na kung saan who does not hold that the same convictions. Now, here's my excerpt. Friends, let us not become arrogant by the things that we know. Okay? If that is us, if we end up always arguing, always debating online, trying to manhandle yung mga kausap mo through your knowledge, I ask you to repent. I urge you to repent. Now, ibig sabihin ba, wala nang place for apologetics? Is there no place to defend the faith? Of course there's a place to defend the faith. We are called to be ready in season and out of season. But if you are trying to defend the faith in a context of hate, pride, and arrogance, I urge you to repent. The wonderful doctrine of God's electing grace should not cause us to be arrogant and prideful. In fact, that is the exact opposite of this doctrine. It should humble us, knowing that we deserve nothing but God's wrath, yet because of God's grace and mercy through faithful preaching of the gospel, we have been saved by grace. It should not pump our pride. It should cause us to humble ourselves and worship God. Yun po yung doctrine na ito. I praise God that as a church, we are slowly growing in our understanding of God's Word. We are slowly growing in theological depth. We are growing in our gospel fluency, if you may. Ang ibig sabihin po noon, yung becoming fluent not only in speaking God's gospel truths, but also speak starting to see through gospel lenses and live through the means of the gospel and starting to grow yung gospel community natin. Friends, with all of these increasing theological knowledge, sa ating life, as we study God's Word, as we study God's Word with one another, and as we grow in our faith and understanding, I must give a caution. I must give a caution. I want us to be aware of pride and arrogance that might start growing or brewing in our hearts. Okay? Alam natin na salvation is by grace alone, through faith in Christ's finished work on the cross. Knowing that, knowing this wonderful gospel, and knowing how to explain that gospel, can even make us arrogant. So we have to be careful as we grow in the knowledge and wisdom of God. It should always humble our hearts. It should not stay on our heads. Yun kasi ang problema ng mga Jews. We know the law. We don't need your gospel. We are the elect. Friends, with all of these things na nangyayari, this should cause us to be humbled. We must be quick to discern if pride is starting to manifest sa ating mga kapatiran who are growing that knowledge. And what do? We should be quick to disciple and walk alongside them. Grow with them. We should also be quick to discern if pride is growing din sa puso natin. Dahil sa ating mga nalalaman or these wonderful truths ng doctrine. How do we know that pride is growing sa ating mga puso? Well, let me give a few diagnostic questions. Sa community groups natin, do you tend to be the one who always want to be heard? Are you the person who always wants to answer at hindi na nakakasagot ang iba? How do you respond to brothers and sisters mismo sa community group or Bible study group who is young in the faith at medyo nagkamali siya ng sagot? How gracious are we to respond sa kanya? O maaring mali talaga ang sagot, how do we respond? Are we gracious or are we graceless? Teka, diba, dapat i-correct yan. Kung tama, i-agree po dyan. That should be done in the context of love, in the context of grace and patience and timing. We must always think how we can best serve this brother or sister and even not humiliate. Okay? As a church, my prayer is that we would be known more for our growing humility, growing love, growing Christ-likeness more than our theology. Let me say that again. My prayer is that we would be known more for our growing humility, love, and Christ-likeness more than our theology. Knowledge is a gift from God that we should steward well. And I praise God for brothers and sisters who are stewarding it well. Nagagamit sila sa Panginoon, nagagamit sila sa kanilang mga anak, nagagamit nila sa trabaho, nagagamit dito sa iglesia. Praise God. But knowledge can also be dangerous as it can pump our pride and so deceive ourselves to be right, even though that we are wrong. Ito ang nangyayari sa mga Jews. They are uncorrectable, if my term ba na ganon. Hindi sila nakokorek. Hindi sila kayang pagsabihan. So, ano ba ang meron tinatawag na spiritual pride? Spiritual pride, this is an article na sinulat ni Jonathan Edwards. Ang tawag dyan is undetected spiritual pride. Okay, let me read it to you. I think I placed it on our screen. But let me read this and as we evaluate yung ating hearts. Spiritual pride is the main door by which the devil comes into the hearts of those who are zealous for the advancement of Christ. It is the chief inlet of smoke from the bottomless pit to darken the mind and mislead the judgment. It is by spiritual pride that the mind defends and justifies itself in other errors and defends itself against light by which it might be corrected and reclaimed. The spiritually proud man and woman thinks that he or she is full of light already and feels that he or she does not need instruction. So he or she is ready to ignore the offer of it. On the other hand, the humble person is like a little child who easily receives instruction. He or she is cautious in his or her estimate of himself, sensitive as to how liable he is to go astray. If it is suggested to him that he is going astray, he is most ready to check into the matter. Nothing sets a Christian so much out of the devil's reach than humility, and so prepares the mind for divine light without darkness. Humility clears the eye to look at things as they truly are. Psalm 25, verse 9, he leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his ways. The privilege of being chosen and possessing the law has not humbled the Jews. Instead, they become more arrogant kasi they have misunderstood the truth and then misapplied it, and as a result, they are blinded by their pride and live lives that are contrary to the truth and its purpose. So in short, namumuhay po sila contradictory sa kanilang paniniwala, which is yung number two. There is a major contradiction. From a major doctrine, there's a major contradiction of it. Verse 21 to 22, you then who teach others, do you teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? Bilang mga recipients ng special revelation at mga chosen people of God, inatasan sila ng Diyos with special responsibility at saka privilege. At yan po ay para magturo ng mga truths about God sa mga Gentiles. Paul is not denying these claims. Tama yun. He knows that the Jews have that responsibility to be the truth and light of a dark world. But we also know that they have misapplied itong mga katotohanan na ito. And that's where the problem comes. Alam ni Paul ito, so he interrogates the Jews by asking them series of questions. Again, he has a Jewish mind, so he knows kung anong klaseng atake ang gagawin niya. He lists three specific sins sa questions niya. At kung pag-paiksiin na lang natin, stealing, adultery, and idolatry. Paul is asking these questions not for them to answer which ones they have done and which ones are nagawa na nila. Hindi ho yun. Ang purpose kung bakit na sinasabi ni Paul ito is by asking these questions for them to see na lahat ng mga ito ay guilty sila. That's why he's asking these questions, hindi para mag-check the box yung mga Jews. He's making it really difficult sa kanila, and this is he's forcing them to evaluate themselves, to test themselves. Yun ang ginagawa niya dito. Because sin is not just the things that we do. It's also our attitudes, hindi lang yung actions. It's also our nature. So yun po yung ginagawa ni Paul dito. Paul is exposing their hearts. Ang sinasabi ni Paul dito, kung pinapalabas ninyo na kayo ay may alam sa law, pinangangaral ito at nagbibigay ng payo kung paano ito sasapamuhay, then bakit? Bakit taliwas ang tinuturo ninyo sa pamumuhay nyo? Yun ang sinasabi niya rito. Paul is exposing their hearts and highlights their fallenness. He is pointing out ang kahipokritohan nila, that they have failed the law. that they will be judged on the last day. Paul is saying all of this not to discourage and destroy them. In one sense, he was trying to discourage yung kanilang paniniwala, but his intent is not to destroy them, but to compel them to run to the cross for hope, for salvation, for justification. Christians, Jesus called us to be light of the world, one who will teach and proclaim God's word and herald the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Christians, Jesus called us to teach His word, and we are called to live His word. As I was meditating this last week, I feel that Paul was getting into my business, you know? I feel that Paul was preaching at me, because this passage really befits yung mga nangangaral ng salita ng Diyos. After meditating and putting the sermon together, I don't even feel qualified to come up and teach this. And it's interesting, may reminder na ginawa si James dito. James chapter 3 verse 1, listen to this. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. That's scary. Yan ang dalawa sa verses na kinakatakot ko kasama yung Hebrews 13:17. That those who shepherd or those who pastor, who cares for the flock ng Panginoon, will be judged. The word teacher here is used both in the Old Testament at saka New Testament. At pareho po ang meaning. Ang ibig sabihin po neto, someone who had sufficient knowledge of the law and could apply it practically to everyday life. So hindi lang knowledge of yung teaching, but also the ability to fulfill it. That's why the Jews gave the title to the person they highly respect and honor. And guess what? In the New Testament, they call Jesus teacher, because they honor them. They honor Him. They listen to Him as if He is a person na qualified talaga ang kanyang sinasabi. James said na ang calling na mga mangangaral ng salita ng Diyos is high and it's weighty. James says not everyone should be teachers kasi teachers will be judged by God more stricter than others. And the wisdom that comes with that is this: those who teach more also has the opportunity and risk to lead people more. If hindi tama ang tinuturo, if heresy ang tinataw, it would lead people astray. Brothers and sisters, for those of you who are teaching, maybe you're visiting this church and you're teaching in your church. Whether ikaw ay teacher sa Crossroads Kids, Crossroads Youth, Bible study teacher, teaching in discipleship, or a parent who teaches their children at home God's Word, listen, God will hold us accountable. God will hold us accountable. We should be handling God's Word carefully. In our preparation sa pag-aaral, we should prepare well. We should teach faithfully. We should teach boldly. We should teach humbly. That's why next year we are planning to start a class sa kung saan we will be teaching how to teach the Bible. Hindi lang sa class, kundi in a one-on-one basis. So be praying for that. Again, yung teacher na meaning dito ni James is not just those who can teach well, but those who lived out the teaching. The Jews' hypocrisy gives us an obviously painful application. it gives us an obviously painful application. Those who are teaching God's Word, are we practicing what we preach? Are we walking the talk? Is our behavior a reflection of what we believe? Those of us who teach not to gossip, do we gossip our colleagues? Those of us who teach our children not to lie, do we lie to them? Those who teach to walk in holiness and fight sin, are we watching pornographic materials or videos? Or are we engaged in premarital sex? Those who teach to love others, are you nursing hatred towards others? A brother or a sister in Christ? Paul is telling the Jews, your unique relationship to God will not save you. Knowing the law and teaching it will not save you, because the truly elected by God would have a transformed life. Now Paul here gives the results of their hypocritical lifestyle. And this is our last point. Mournful consequences. If the Jews continue to live itong hypocritical lifestyle, there will be mournful consequences. Verse 23, you who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. For us it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Paul quotes here Isaiah 52 verse 5 and Ezekiel 36, 20 to 23, which is yung binasa ni Brother Jovan kanina. Where the Jews, itong context nun is, were exiled nung panahon na ito. They were removed from the promised land dahil sa kanilang idolatrous sin. Kanilang rebellion. They failed to please God. They did not fulfill the Torah. Thus, God's chosen people were oppressed and Gentiles blaspheme God's name because of their sins. In Paul's time, the Gentiles speak evil against God. That's why binabanggit ni Paul to sa kanila eh. Because the Jews are in captivity under Roman rule. And this is all because of their sin of immorality and hypocrisy. The pagan Gentiles were speaking evil against God because of their life. Paul is pointing out here is the effect of hypocrisy upon the witness of the person who witnessed ng isang Kristiyano is devastating. It can be both good and it can be both bad. When we claim na tayo ay Christian and live in a contradiction of that profession, ito po ay nagiging hindrance sa pag-share natin ng gospel. Ang malalaking hadlang sa pag-spread ng gospel sa mundo sa panahon natin ngayon ay hindi po dahil walang translated na language. Hindi dahil sa kulang na missionaries na pumupunta sa iba't ibang ethnic groups, hindi po. Ang malaking hadlang sa pag-spread ng gospel sa panahon natin ngayon, lalo na sa syudad, okay, ay dahil sa mga nominal Christians, dahil sa mga Christian na may nakuha hypocrites, may mga false converts, people who claim to be believers pero hindi makitaan ng ebidensya na sila ay Kristiyano. That is destroying our gospel witness. Friends, let me ask you right now. What do you think your colleagues are telling each other about how you are living? Would they say, that person's God is real? Or they say, that person's God is nothing? Tingnan mo ang buhay niya. How many people have we caused to stumble because of the way we speak, the way we act, the way we make decisions, the way we promote ourselves? Now, let me talk to those who say that they are Christians, pero baka hindi. Friend, if you are here tonight and you grew up in a church, And you know all the Bible verses na pwede mong i-memorize simula ng pagkabata. Sing all the hymns and songs that we sing dito sa church. And even teach the Bible. Pero if you are unrepentant sa iyong kasalanan at patuloy na inaalagaan ang kasalanan and have zero desire to be with God's people, zero desire to meditate on God's word and pray, zero to desire to live a life of holiness, righteousness, and purity, it could be na ikaw ay hindi Kristiyano. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Let me rephrase that. Examine yourselves to see if you are really a Christian. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? The truth is, friends, there is nothing that we can do to save us from our sins. If you try to change, if you try to walk in holiness and fail, of course Christians will fail. Of course, Christian, but if there is this growing desire for evil and growing desire to hate God's people and His Word, then that could be an indication. That is an indication na baka hindi ka anak ng Diyos. And the Bible says that is our true natural state. That is the true state of a fallen heart. Idol worshipers, people who worship themselves. And the Bible says God will not share His glory to anyone. So God will judge those na hindi niya anak. But God sent His Son, Jesus, took the form of man, lived among us, but unlike us, He fulfilled the law and worshiped God perfectly. His death on the cross paid for all our sins of idolatry. And on the third day has risen from the grave, redeeming, reconciling us to the Father. This is an urge. Kung ano man ang in-urge ni Paul sa mga Jews and Gentiles sa libro na ito to repent, I'm urging you tonight, repent, friends. Do not bank on that you have done this. Do not bank on the things na lumaki ako na Christian. Do not bank this na marami akong alam. Do not bank this, I'm already doing this for the Lord. Yan, kung yan ang pinanghahawakan natin for salvation, then Jesus said, many shall come in my name saying, Lord, Lord, but I never know them. Depart from me. This is God's grace and kindness to us. Buhay ka pa. There is still hope. I urge you to repent from your sins and trust Christ's finished work on the cross for salvation. Para naman sa mga Christians who are struggling with hypocrisy, right here, or living a double life, or not practicing what they preach, here's my message to all of us, including myself. Pinapanood tayo ng unbelieving world. They are called the watching world. Because an unbeliever is looking for hope. An unbeliever is hoping to see na kung totoong may Christian, I want to see it because I am hopeless. I am desperate. I need something to give me hope. And if we don't give them the hope that we have in Christ through our living, through our words, then we will cause them to blaspheme the name of God. We must live in such a way that we would live out the gospel, friends. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is heaven. Like I said, we must live in such a way that we would live out the gospel in our words, in our deeds, as an individual, and also as a covenant community. And one way we show the gospel is through communion. Ang communion ay ang pangalawang ordinansa na tinalaga ng Panginoon Hesukristo sa kanyang mga anak. This is an ongoing celebration ng unity that we have together in Christ through His death and resurrection. Sa communion, ang tinapay ay larawan ng katawan ni Kristo that was laid down as a sacrifice for our sins. At ang saro naman o yung kopa symbolizes His blood that was shed for us, for our salvation. Ngayong gabi na ito, we have the privilege of celebrating this wonderful meal together. The Bible gives us an instruction and a warning sa kung sino ang pwede lamang kumain at uminom at mag-participate sa Lord's Supper. At naka-indicate ito sa 1 Corinthians 11:27 to 29. Kaya ang sino mang kumakain ng tinapay at umiinom sa kopa ng Panginoon sa paraan na di nararapat ay nagkakasala sa katawan at dugo ng Panginoon. Kaya't dapat siyasati ng tao ang kanyang sarili bago siya kumain ng tinapay at uminom sa kopa. Sapagkat ang sino mang kumakain at umiinom ng hindi kinikilala ang kahalagahan ng katawan ng Panginoon ay kumakain at umiinom sa kahatulan laban sa kanyang sarili. If you have repented from your sins and placed your faith in Christ's finished work on the cross, the gospel na narinig nyo lang kanina, then you are welcome to join us sa meal na ito. If not, we encourage you to let the cup and bread pass you. If you do profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and from a different church, you are still welcome. But if you are here right now and you are engaged in a sin na kung saan hindi mo pa pinagsisisihan, I urge you to let the cup and bread pass you. Scripture warns us that there are severe consequences for those who take this meal, which symbolizes our unity in Christ, while at the same time holding on to sin that divides the unity of Christ. Gamitin na lang natin itong oras na ito upang pagbulay-bulayan natin ang ating sarili and repent from our sins. Now, before we take part ng communion, let us now take a moment in silence to remember kung anong ginawa ng Panginoon sa atin sa krus.